We're looking at a Rambam in Hilchus Tefillin. Perek Dalid mi Hilchus Tefillin Halacha Chaf Hei. And Rav Soloveitchik was very bothered by the details of the Rambam in what sounds like a Musa Shmuz. The point of this Rambam is that a person should try to wear tefillin the entire day. So if the Rambam would have said that straight away, up front, we'd have no questions and no qualms about it. But the Rambam gives a whole arichas dvar. And here's how the Rambam says. Kiddushas tefillin, kiddushasan gdolahi. How great is the sanctity of tefillin. Shekolzman she tefillin berosho shel odom v'al zroo. Every second that a person is wearing tefillin, hu anav, he's humbled by it, v'yiri shamayim, the eino nimshach b'schok u'b'sicha b'teila, he doesn't distract himself with thoughts about the world that are meaningless, he doesn't speak things that are frivolous, eino maharei b'machshavos ros, even bad thoughts don't even cross his mind, Elamafana Libo, he directs all his thoughts, Bidivre Ha'emes Vehatzedek. So he's totally focused on the truth. This is what tefillin does to a person. The impact of wearing tefillin. And then, Lefichach, the Rambam says, now I'm ready for the punchline. Tzorech Adam Lishtadel Lios Olav Kalayom. A person has to wear tefillin the entire day. Shemitzvasan Kachi. That's really the way the mitzvah is given. And then the Rambam adds about Rav, who is a Talmud of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, that he never walked four amels without tefillin. So the Rav says that he doesn't understand this Rambam. There are two types of mitzvahs. There are mitzvahs that require an action, like for example, Netilas Lulav, Tekiyas Shofar, Achilas Matzah. You do it once, and you fulfill it. Finished. Finito. Or as we say in Yiddish, Gandikt. You know, the mitzvah takes you how long? How long does it take to eat a kezayis matzah? It takes you a minute. So you eat the kezayis, and then you're finished. There are other mitzvahs, though, that are continuous mitzvahs that you should be involved in on a constant basis that extend over a period of time. Now, when we talk about tefillin, and defining the nature of the mitzvah of tefillin, clearly tefillin belongs to the second category. It's a mitzvah that's not pinpointed to a certain moment. There's no one moment that the mitzvah is begun and completed. But rather, it's a mitzvah tmidis. It can be classified as an ongoing, continuous mitzvah. Now, if you ask me why that's so, the answer is because that's the way the mitzvah was given. The Torah could have given a mitzvah that's immediate, that's one time, and the Torah could have given a mitzvah that is continuous. So the Torah says about tefillin, it's a continuous mitzvah. That wouldn't have shocked me had the Rambam just said to me that the mitzvah of tefillin is a mitzvah tmidis, and therefore, tzorech lishtadel liyos solof kol hayom. Why did the Rambam feel compelled to go through this entire rigmarole, this whole lengthy discussion, which the Rav calls Divrei Musar, about the sanctity of tefillin and how tefillin has to impact you and what thoughts you have to have in mind while you're wearing your tefillin, drop that. The Rambam should have gotten straight to the point, as he always does, because that's the Darko Shel Rambam, and tell you that in terms of classifying this mitzvah into the various categories that we know, we have one category of mitzvahs that are fulfilled immediately, with one fell swoop. There's a maisa that has a beginning and an end. There are other mitzvahs that are continuous, that take a long period of time. Let's say, for example, the mitzvah of sukkah. I would say that the mitzvah of sukkah is to live in the sukkah. So within the 7 days of sukkahs, you live in the sukkah. It's not just a particular maisa that I pinpoint, and you do it and you don't do it. The mitzvah of mitzvah shebalev, for example, like Simchas Yontif, extends over a period of time. Emuna b'Hashem or Avas Hashem, Yiras Hashem. They are mitzvahs that are continuous. They extend over a long period of time. Tefillin belongs to that category. Why does the Rambam feel compelled to give me all these details about the greatness of the Kedusha of Tefillin, the hirhur that you have to have, the state of mind, the anava and the yira of Tefillin? So just to say a word before we go on about, just so that you know where the Rav is coming from. You know, Rav Soloveitchik, who was my Rebbe, I was able to learn by him for 5 years, he has what you call the Brisker approach. The Brisker approach is the approach of halacha. Everything has to have its halachic definition. It's got to be very, very precise. He says that there are two parts to the mitzvah of tefillin. One part of the mitzvah of tefillin is the mitzvah act. Every act, every mitzvah has its mitzvah act. It's well defined. And in that sense, tefillin is no different. The mitzvah act of tefillin is hanocha, which means to tie it on your arm and to place it on your head. To that extent, tefillin as a kiyum of a maisa mitzvah is no different than matzah, which requires an achila, and shofar that requires a shmia, and luv that requires netila, and tefillin requires hanocha. But there's another dimension to the mitzvah of tefillin, another kiyum. And this kiyum would not be fulfilled if you just wrap it and do the hanacha, implement the maisa, and then take it off. The Rav says the second dimension of the mitzvah of tefillin is kiddush hagavra, to sanctify the person who wears them. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah about a person who doesn't wear tefillin, chas v'shalom, he's capable of doing so, he's a gadol, and so forth and so on, but he doesn't, he refuses. He's called a karkafta d'lo manach be tefillin. There's something about the sanctity of that individual that is missing. It's deficient. It's incomplete. Tefillin, as long as I wear it, sanctifies me as an individual. Every second that I wear tefillin adds a new dimension of kedusha to my personality. I'm reminded, and here this is a little bit off the topic, that the Rav was once talking about Shabbos, about observing the Shabbos. And there too, the Rav said a very similar idea. He said that Shabbos has two dimensions to it. There are the actions. Let's say I have to abstain from 39 malachas, and I have to eat a suda on Shabbos, and the onik Shabbos, and covet Shabbos, and so forth. And then there's another dimension to Shabbos. Shabbos sanctifies the person. That's why the Gemara says that if a person chas v'shalom is mechal Shabbos, he desecrates the Shabbos, he doesn't have the same status anymore. He's a mumar. A mumar means that in certain sense, he's chas v'shalom, he's like a guy, he's like an akum. His kedusha is incomplete. Shabbos, on the flip side, in a positive sense, once I observe it, is makadish the person. So to tefillin has that special dimension. It sanctifies the person. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, and the Rambam quotes this in Hilchas Tshuva, that a person who doesn't wear tefillin is kiposhea Yisrael begufo. So the Rav wants to suggest, based on this, that we can explain a very difficult question, answer a very difficult question. We know that every mitzvah gets one bracha. That's called a Birchas HaMitzvah. So when we hear the shofar, we make a bracha, lishmo kol shofar, and we eat matzah, alachilus matzah, and when we take the lulav, al natilus lulav. But we never find that a single mitzvah gets two brachas. Tefillin has two brachas, at least according to Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam holds, and this you'll find in Masechet Brachos on Daf Samach Amud Beis, that even though the bracha of lehaniach tefillin is recited on both the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel rosh, as long as there's no hefsek in between. For example, when you shech two animals, you make one bracha on shechita for both shechitas, for both animals, as again, as long as there's no hefsek. Or if you bodek two houses because you own two homes, then you'll make one bracha on bir chametz for both homes. In the case of tefillin, although the bracha of lahaniach tefillin is sufficient for both the shel yad and the shel rosh, there's another bracha, says Rabbeinu Tam, that is specific to the mitzvah of tefillin shel rosh. Another bracha. Why? You've already recited the bracha lahaniach tefillin. And that recitation covers you for both the tefillin shel rosh, the tefillin shel yad, and the tefillin shel rosh. So why establish a second bracha on the tefillin shel rosh? Says the Rav very beautifully. because really tefillin has two different mitzvahs to it. One is putting on the tefillin, and the other is the gavra being me'utar b'tefillin, meaning wearing the tefillin. That's tefillin shel rosh. What's unique about tefillin shel rosh is that it gives you a certain kedusha. It's connected to your head. It's like wearing, what shall I say, a crown, a keser, and the keser that a Jew wears is the tefillin shel rosh. Therefore, says the Rav, the tefillin shel rosh, because it has a new dimension to it, a second cue of keser, of kedusha, one on the gavra, it requires a second bracha for that separate cue. And the source for Rabbeinu Tam's premise that Dafka Tefillin Shel Rosh is unique in its ability, its impact on a person, is the pasuk in Sefer Devarim that says, "V'ro kol amei ha'aretz ki shem Hashem nikra lecha," that the nations of the world will see that the name of God is called upon you. And the Gemara in Menachos Daf Lamed Hei Amid Beis quotes a brisa, Rabbi Elazar HaGadol Omer, Elu Tefillin Shel Barosh. That's why, Al Pi Halacha, Tefillin Shel Barosh always have to be exposed. Tefillin Shel Yad you can cover over, put your sleeves on top, but not Tefillin Shel Rosh. Anyone who covers his Tefillin Shel Rosh, it's a mistake. And why? Because Ki Ro Kol Ami Aretz. The Tefillin Shel Rosh has to be worn proudly, in a way that the spectator could see it. It's like, what shall I say, like Chanukah, Ner Chanukah, because we want to connect this ultimately to Chanukah. It's got to be something that I'm proud of, that I go back and I wear it outside. The rush, which you'll find quoted by the Torah in Hilchos Tefillin, Siman Chafei and Aruch Chaim, says that the bracha that we recite every morning of Oter Yisrael B'Sif Ara should be connected to the Tefillin Shel Barosh. Although it's not our minhag to wait with that bracha until we wear the Tefillin Shel Barosh, but we should be aware of the opinion of the Rosh that the bracha of Oter Yisrael, which means Atara, Atara is a crown, Bisifara is referring dafka to Tefillin Shel Rosh. Why? Because Tefillin Shel Rosh has this second dimension to it, a kiyum of Kedushas HaGavra. And therefore, when the Gemara says that someone who doesn't wear tefillin is a karkafta de lo manach but tefillin, he's a poshe Yisrael begufo, it's referring to tefillin shel rosh. Even if you would tell me that he wears tefillin shel yad, but he doesn't wear tefillin shel rosh, he still remains a karkafta de lo manach but tefillin. Karkafta means the head. And therefore, when the Rambam goes into great detail describing the impact of tefillin on the wearer, what he's referring to is not the maisa mitzvah of hanocha, but rather to the second dimension, the kiyum of gavra me'utar b'tefillin. The Rambam says because of the impact of tefillin on a person, because wearing tefillin, in this case tefillin shel rosh, elevates the person and sanctifies him, therefore, says the Rambam, that mitzvah is not limited in time. It's a mitzvah tmidis. And therefore, yishtadel sheyia olav tefillin, he should be very careful to wear the tefillin constantly, if he can. Because the moment that he takes off the tefillin, he's lacking that makadesh, that iter b'tefillin, that sanctifies him. And the Rav says, therefore, the obligation in a pure, shall I say, ideal world is to wear the tefillin constantly, to always link up and plug in to that influence, that impact on the spirit of a person that is engendered by wearing tefillin. So again, to summarize, the chiyuv of tefillin as a constant chiyuv is a reflection and a result of the kiyum of gavra ha-me'utar b'tefillin. And therefore, every moment that he's wearing tefillin, there's a hiskachus, there's a hisromimus, it elevates him, and that mitzvah is a continuous mitzvah.
The Rav goes a step further. And based on this breakthrough, that there are two dimensions and two kiyumim in tefillin, he wants to answer a very, very difficult question. There's a world-class famous braisa in Masechta Sukkah on Daf Mem Beis about the mitzvah of chinuch, which means that a father has to see to it that his son, even before he's bar mitzvah, fulfills the mitzvahs that he'll be obligated in when he becomes a gadol. And in each particular mitzvah, the braisa delineates the shiur, how mature is the child for the chiyuv, for the shiur of chinuch. When is he considered higia l'chinuch? In the case of tefillin, we would have thought that if he's capable of wearing the tefillin, that should be enough. Like in Netilas Lulav, the braisa says, if he's capable of shaking the lulav, l'naneis chayev, through chinuch, to take the lulav. In tzitzis, he could put on the tzitzis. He's chayv in tzitzis. Tefillin. We would think if he could put on the tefillin, that's good enough. And perhaps a 5-year-old could put on tefillin. Or maybe a 7-year-old. But certainly you don't have to wait till a fellow is 12 plus. Says the braisa, katan hayodea lishmar tefillov. He can guard the sanctity of the tefillin. Then his father should buy him a pair of tefillin. So the Rav asked the question, why is it so? With regard to all other mitzvahs, the shir of chinuch, the maturity level of the child, is such that he can perform the mitzvah. Just the dry cut performance, cut and dry performance. When the braisa comes to tefillin, it's not the dry and cut performance, it's the shmiras ha-tefillin. Says the Rav. Because in other mitzvahs that are one-dimensional, as long as he can do the Maisa Mitzvah, then he's ready for Chinuch. But Tefillin, on the other hand, is a multi-dimensional, it's a bi-dimensional Mitzvah, and it has two dimensions to it. It's not just the Hanochas Tefillin, and that's it. But rather, there's another dimension to Tefillin. And that's the Kiddush HaGavra through the Tefillin. He's got to be Muchtar B'Tefillin. Only a child who's reached the age of maturity, that he can connect to this full kiyum, the full shlemus of the mitzvah, meaning not just the hanocha, but also the kedushas tefillin. If he understands what the kedushas tefillin is all about, the sanctity of something that's written on parchment, the sanctity of something that brings a person to a state of elevation, of yirah shamayim, that he shouldn't think thoughts that are extraneous and that are antithetical to what a Jew should be thinking about. If he has the overall appreciation for Kedushas Tefillin, then, and only then, is he ready for the mitzvah of Chinuch. If he cannot appreciate the significance of Tefillin as it is, if he doesn't understand the deeper meaning of Kedushas Tefillin, then lacking that appreciation, he cannot come to the full-fledged mitzvah of Tefillin, the kiyum of being muchtar b'tefillin. And it's as if he doesn't know how to put on the Tefillin. Technically, in terms of the mechanical act of putting on tefillin, certainly he's capable, even if he's a child of 6 or 7. But he doesn't have the connection to the mitzvah b'shlemus with its double dimension, and therefore, he's potter from the mitzvah of chinuch. Since Rabbeinu Tam requires two brachos, as quoted by Tosus in Masecht Brachos Samach Amud Beis, one bracha for tefillah shel yad, and a second bracha for tefillah shel rosh. Now, the laniach tefillin is on both the shel yad and the shel rosh, and al mitzvah tefillin is a specific bracha for the shel rosh. The first bracha represents the kiyum of the maisa hanocha. The second represents the kiyum of kiddush hagavra. We can understand how there's an absolute parallel in the case of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. We find a very odd phenomenon in the case of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, two brachos. One bracha, lasok b'divrei sora, and a second bracha, varevna. Both of these brachos are related to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Why two brachos? Why not one? Now, the reason why there's a parallel between the mitzvah of tefillin and the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is based on the pasuk and the mechilta on the pasuk at the end of Parshas Bo,
Uzikaron b'nei nechol amantia Torah Hashem b'ficha. And the Mechilta points out that there's a deep connection between Tefillin and Torah. And in fact, Rabbeinu Yonah, in Masechta Brachas, at the end of the second perek, points out that technically one who is Osek b'Torah is Potim in a Tefillin. And the reason for that is Laman Tia Torah Hashem b'Ficha. That Tefillin is because of Torah. And he who's Osek b'Torah, that Asek b'Torah could replace Tefillin. So it really makes sense structurally to see a parallel, a mirror image between the mitzvah of Tefillin and the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Just like we saw in Rabbeinu Tam, Tefillin requires two brachas, so too the mitzvah of Talmud Torah requires two brachas. And the reason for that, as the Rav explains, is because there are two kiyumim in Talmud Torah. One is the Maisa Limud, which is the intellectual pursuit of Torah, the Limud Torah, in order to understand it, in order to gain its knowledge. And secondly, a person has to be Muchtar B'Keser Torah. There's a Kiddush HaGavra through Talmud Torah, through the study of Torah. And this is reflected in the statement of Rav Meir at the end of Pirkei Avos. Rav Meir Omer Kala Osek B'Torah Lishma Zoche L'Dvarim Harbe. And he gives you a long list of descriptions of the person who's transformed in his very personality by the Torah study experience. He's Rea, he's Ohuv, Malbashto Anova V'Yira. All this reflects the Kedusha Satorah as it's Mekadesh the Gavra, one who studies Torah. So both Torah and Tefillin have this second kiyum to it, in which the Gavra, the personality of the mitzvah doer, is elevated by Tefillin, by Torah. And therefore there's a second bracha on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, which ends Lishma, because, as Rabbi points out, the precondition for Kiddush HaGavra Yidei Talmud Torah is Torah Lishma. Based on this, we can perhaps answer the following question. The sugya in Psachim describes two forms of a Berachas HaMitzvah. There are those mitzvos that get a bracha with a lamed, and there are those brachos which are formulated with an al. And the question is, what is the rule, or what are the rules that govern the determination as to whether or not the bracha should be formulated with a lamed or with an al? As a general rule, what we find is, in the way the Rishonim describe the klolim, that a mitzvah, which is essentially a maisa mitzvah, the bracha is with a lamed. And the lamed is the prefix which describes the yasiya, the maisa mitzvah itself. So, for example, you could talk about lahadlik ner chanukah on the maisad loka. You could talk about likvah mezuzah on the act of putting up a mezuzah. Lahafrish challah on the mitzvah of separating challah. In all these cases, the lamed is indicative of the performance of the mitzvah, the act of the mitzvah per se. However, the Rambam points out at the end of Hilchos Brachos that if one has already performed the mitzvah act, then the bracha takes on the form of an al. The explanation seems to be that al is a more generic, a more general, all-encompassing nusach. And the Rav Zichron Vach explained that al is on the kiyum ha-mitzvah, whereas labid is on the maisa mitzvah. The Rambam describes the reasoning behind the nusach ha-bracha on netilas lulav as al netilas lulav, when we would have anticipated a litol with a lamed, because the mitzvah act is clearly defined as netilas lulav. And the Rambam says that mida'ag be'nofikei, once you've already lifted up the dalad binim, you've already performed the mitzvah, the bracha therefore takes the form of an al. There's no longer a possibility of making a bracha on the asiyah, because you've already completed the asiyah. In a similar way, the Rambam says that a ger who doesn't have the possibility of making the bracha on gerus before the ma'isa tvila, because he's lo roi, he's not able to say asher kinshanu mitzvos v'tzivanu, he's still a goy. Therefore, he'll make the bracha al tvilas gerim, and the al indicates that the ma'isa has already been done, but the mitzvah in its general form, what we would call the kiyum ha-mitzvah, is still down the line. So the al is a bracha on the kiyum ha-mitzvah. If we go back to the two aspects and the two dimensions to Tefillin, which generate two different brachos for Tefillin, we could really understand, according to the Rav, why the bracha on tefillin shel yad is with a lamed, lehaniach, and that bracha covers not only the tefillin shel yad, but also the anach of tefillin shel rosh, whereas the bracha on the shel rosh is al mitzvah tefillin. Why the al? The answer is because with regard to the kiyum of gavra ma'utar v'amuchtar b'tefillin, we're not focused on a ma'isa mitzvah. The ma'isa mitzvah with regard to the kiyum of lahachtir is only a means to an end. And even if Luyitzur, I didn't make a bracha on the hanoch itself, I would still make a bracha on the ongoing kiyum of gavra hamuchtar v'amautar b'tefillin, that state of being in which I'm wearing tefillin, and I am sanctified by the kedushas ha-tefillin. And as the Rambam describes it in great detail, kedushas tefillin, gedolahi, calls manchet tefillin b'rosho shel adam, the tefillin are on his head. He's an Anav, he's a Yerushamayim, and so forth. This Kiddush process is an ongoing process, which, as we saw in the Rambam, is the introduction to explain Lefichach Tzarech Adam Lishtadol Liosan Olav Kol Hayom, the continuous mitzvah tmidus of wearing tefillin. And therefore the bracha could not be on the hanacha with a lamed, on the performance of the mitzvah, but rather on the state of being, on the kiyum of gavra hamakudash b'kedushas tefillin. And whenever the bracha, as we saw in cases of netilas lulav or tefilas gerim, is on the ongoing state of being, then the bracha is with an al and not with a lamed. So just to summarize, the Rav's insight into the two dimensions of the two kiyumim in tefillin will explain not only the Rambam, and not only explain the Braisa in Sukkah on Daf Mem Beis about the shir of chinuch, that we need a katan who's yodea lishmar tefillin, he appreciates and he understands the kedushas tefillin, so therefore he can have the mitzvah v'shleimus that's not limited to the Maisa mitzvah, but includes and incorporates the Kiyum mitzvah of Kedushas HaTefillin. And not only do we understand why there's a separate bracha on Tefillin Shel Rosh, why V'ro Kol Amei Ha'aretz Ki Shem Hashem Nikra Alecha refers to Tefillin, why the Rosh is of the opinion that the bracha of Oter Yisrael B'Sifara is specifically on the Tefillin Shel Rosh, all of these to focus on the Kiddush HaGavra, we can also understand and justify the Nusach HaBracha on Tefillin Shel Rosh as being a bracha with Al, as opposed to the bracha of Lehaniach with the Lamed on the Maisim Mitzvah.